The reason I sit on a chair most of the time is because I had back surgery a couple years ago, and standing in one place is what makes it hurt. Not the surgery, the rest of it. And besides, sitting is biblical. Did you know that? How many times when you read the Gospels does it say Jesus went into the synagogue to teach and he sat down? So I may get up and move around a little, but don't count on it. What I've been asked to do tonight is to share with you something about Pat and me. Probably tell you more about our family another time. But who we are, and then how we got here, which is an interesting story in itself. And then what will I be doing here at New Life, besides trying to make people laugh once in a while? That's just my nature. I can't help it. Pat and I share the same initials, P-A-J. We also share those with our oldest daughter, Pamela Ann. So that's something different. We were high school sweethearts. Her parents moved to the town where my dad was a pastor when she was in 10th grade. I was in 11th. We graduated from the same high school in a huge town called Custer, Michigan. Anybody ever heard of? No, I didn't. You've heard of? Yeah, you used to live in Michigan. Free soil. Yeah, Sanders Meats, right. I graduated from high school in 1966, which makes me very old. My wife graduated a year later. We are both the oldest of six children. Pat has five sisters, no brothers. I have three sisters and then two brothers. And growing up, they were like dirt under my feet, as you can imagine. Now we get along a whole lot better. And some of you have seen pictures of me and my brothers. But we grew up in families of six children. We have four children, five grandchildren, two great-grandchildren, and pictures to prove it. We live in Roanoke in a finished walkout basement apartment with our oldest son and his wife. And usually our granddaughter and her husband are over there a lot, along with our two great-grandchildren. So we see them a lot. How we got here is a story in and of itself. If you have your Bible, you might want to look at Genesis 24. Genesis 24, verse 27, the latter part of the verse. This is a story about Isaac getting a wife. Some of you know that story. Abraham called his most trusted servant and said, I have a job for you. Go back to the place where I came from and find a wife for my son. End of instructions. Can you imagine how the servant responded? Huh? How am I going to know who it is? But he trusted his master, Abraham. And he also trusted God. And when he finally got to Ur of the Chaldees and found Abraham's relatives where he was supposed to go find this wife for Isaac, he devised a plan, didn't he? He said, whoever the young woman is who comes out to me at the well and says, can I give you some water to drink? She'll be it. Interesting way to pick a wife, right? And so along came a young woman who was a relative of Abraham's. Her name was Rebekah. She gave him water for his camels and so on, and then invited him to come to her home and stay with her family. And they wanted to know how all this happened. So verse 27, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Being in the way, the Lord led me. That's kind of been a running theme for Pat and my life for a few years. Sometimes when a pastor wants to find another church, he puts his name out and people spread it around, hoping somebody finds it and says, "Oh, this looks like an interesting possibility." We decided to not do that a few years ago. We just felt that if the Lord wanted us to move, he'd bring a church along that was looking for a pastor. And he has always come through. Well, moving to Indiana was kind of being on the way. We didn't know anybody down here. I felt the Lord wanted me to stay active in preaching. And so I joined an organization that fills pulpits for churches that need somebody. But I didn't know that I had to find my contacts. That's kind of hard when you don't know anybody, right? But the Lord led, and the Lord gave us some wonderful places to preach in. One for an extended number of months. But then they called a new pastor, and there went my pulpit supply. And so we were just waiting on the Lord to lead us the next step, being in the way. And then a friend of ours from the church that we were attending at the time called and said, "How'd you like to go to breakfast tomorrow with me and a friend of mine named Jimmy Staten?" And I had met Jimmy once at the Southern Baptist pastor's breakfast, but I didn't know anything about Jimmy. So we met for breakfast, and Jimmy shared with me what he was looking for in someone to come and serve with him here. And Rob had told me when he invited me to breakfast, "I think you fit the bill," or something to that effect. And we visited for quite a while that day. And then I came over and taught that leadership class that many of you were there at. And the Lord led. And we're here. And we're enjoying it. Even though we think we're about the oldest people in this church, we try not to act our age most of the time, but that's okay. So we got here because the Lord led. We were in the way, and the Lord brought us here. It's interesting that the ministry that Jimmy has given to me here at New Life takes me back to my roots. I was not trained to be a preacher, although I preached in several churches for a long time. But all of my training was in the area of working in a church in educational ministries and helping people become more effective in their ministry. And so I'm back to my roots, which I thoroughly love. But I don't have to do it all myself because, as you'll hear in a minute, our Southern Baptist Convention has some remarkable tools to use. All I have to do is figure out how to send them to people. I did it again today. Did it come through, Savannah? Yours did, Phil? Oh, so maybe yours is waiting. I hope. Because I asked Jimmy and he said, and I texted Matthew over at the office and I said, "How do I do this?" And without looking at me, I could see him go. So hopefully it's working. If it isn't, we'll figure it out. So how we got here, the Lord led. and I believe that very strongly. I have enjoyed getting better acquainted with Jimmy. In fact, we spent some time together today going to an interesting Bible study that he does every Wednesday. And it was neat to meet some of the guys at the truck place. So that's how we got here. Now, what will I be doing here? This is where we want to spend most of our time. If you would, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. This is kind of a key verse for church ministry and what ministry is all about. And it's been kind of a guiding force in my life for a long time. Let's ask the Lord's help as we get ready to dive into this. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word tonight with these folks who have gathered. I pray that you will give clear words and clear thoughts to the one who speaks, and open ears, open minds, and open hearts to those who listen. And may we all be more focused on why we are here as a church, why we are here as Christians. And so guide and direct these next few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." I think that's a job description for someone who is serving in a church in the capacity that Jimmy has asked me to help here at New Life. I believe there are two tasks that Jimmy has outlined for me to serve in. Number one is to teach some classes. We don't even know what all those will be, but shortly after I arrived, I started teaching Bible 101. What is that? Well, somebody approached me in my last church and said, "Pastor, you need to teach a class called the Bible for Dummies." And I said, "I can't do that because there really aren't any dummies." He said, "Well, I don't know anything about the Bible, and you need to teach something that will help me understand about the Bible." And I said, "Well, I can do that, but there are no dummies." So we are teaching this class, which is basically an introduction to the Bible. Some of the rest of you have said, "Hey, I'd like to come, but I'm already in a class." So we'll figure out different times and places and ways to teach that class periodically, okay? And I'm not discouraged if I only have 2, 3, 4, or 5 people. I think that's ideal for teaching. I really do. So I'm teaching that class and enjoying it, and I hope that those who are in the class enjoy it as well. And there will be other classes that may come along as we move along through my ministry here. And then secondly, and number one job, is to work with church leadership to develop their ministries in their assigned ministry. And there is a remarkable resource through Lifeway that I think is going to be very, very helpful to those who go through it, and me and Jimmy and others in the church. It's a collection of 3,500 training videos for people in the parking lot, people who greet at the door, people who meet first-time visitors, how to do a better job in the nursery. I can't begin to tell you everything that is there. 3,500 training videos. And I'm familiarizing myself with how it's kind of laid out and trying to figure out how to send them to people. But you got yours. Maybe I did something right today. So, I'll be assigning these to people, and I'll be meeting with those people to find out what their needs are for their ministry and how we can fit them into the ministry grid. That's what it's called, ministry grid. So beyond that, let's take a look at this text, okay? Paul says, the things that you have learned from me. What do you suppose Timothy had learned from the Apostle Paul? We know he spent a lot of time traveling with him. He may have even been one of the people who wrote the letters that Paul sent to churches that we have here in the New Testament. The teachings, the instructions that Timothy had received from the Apostle Paul. He says, I want you to take those things and do something with them. I think Paul there in that little phrase is talking about the sum total of everything he had taught. Let's see. At least 12 books in the New Testament. About half of it. And if he wrote Hebrews, there's a lot of back and forth on that one, then it would be 13 books. That's a lot of material, isn't it? I don't begin to claim to understand all of Paul's epistles, even though I've taught some of them. The things you have learned from me. Man, I wish we had access to everything Paul had taught Timothy. Wouldn't that be something? Whew. We do have his letters, which we are grateful for. And then he says, you have learned these things from me among many witnesses. So there were other people who had received this teaching from the Apostle Paul as well. It's an interesting phrase, among many witnesses. One translation says, the whole congregation saying, Amen. That's kind of cool, isn't it? The whole bunch saying amen to what Paul had taught. So Paul says, the things that, Timothy, that you have learned from me in a wider context, the whole congregation, I want you to take those things and I want you to commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Commit them. Some translations say, transmit and entrust. I get the idea there that this is something valuable that Paul is entrusting to Timothy. Something valuable. And I think here it has to do with the eternal truth of God Himself. He's saying, Timothy, God has taught me these things. I have taught them to you. Now you take them and teach them to others. What could be more valuable than God's truth? Huh? So Timothy has a huge responsibility, doesn't he? Pass it on. Pass it on. We can do that in a variety of ways, can't we? We can do it in formal classes, or we can sit around a room in a truck repair place and sit on chairs that don't match. But you open up the Bible and you say, here we go, guys. Pass it on. Commit it. Formal and informal settings. You can do that in your home. Can't you? In fact, in the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, God says to Moses, teach it when you get up, teach it when you sit down, teach it when you go to bed, teach it in the morning, teach it when you're walking down the road with your kid. It can be taught anywhere, can it? In a restaurant, sounds very similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing. What's the next one? Teaching. And Jesus said almost the same thing Paul did here. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have said. So we have a job as believers to take the things we have learned and commit them to other people. Pass it on. Here I believe Paul is saying to Timothy, look, I have invested a lot of my life in you, Timothy. Now you have my legacy to pass on to other people. I grew up as a preacher's kid. Didn't always appreciate that. Although it never was a really big deal to me. It's what my dad did. He was a preacher. I did have a high school teacher tell me one time that he didn't like me because he didn't like what my father stood for. That's kind of a heavy thing to lay on a 16-year-old kid. But it just made me work harder to make him pleased in the classroom and in sports. We have a legacy. If you've been a Christian for 2 years, someone has poured into your life and you have something to pass on. If you've been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you have a spiritual legacy to share with other people. And so Paul says to Timothy, you take everything I taught you and you commit it to others. Pass on that spiritual legacy. Notice what he says next. To faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Notice it's plural. Faithful men. And I think we could include women there as well. You pass on what God has given you to others. A group of people, he says, who are faithful. That's a really key word. They're reliable. They're dependable. I quit wearing a wristwatch a couple years ago because my kids made so much fun of me. Why do you wear that thing? I said, what do you mean? You got a cell phone? Yeah, but I got to dig it out of wherever I left it and turn it on to see what time it is. So I think it's about time I get a new watch. But if you have a watch, what do you expect it to do? Be dependable, right? If your watch loses 5 minutes every day, is it dependable? No, because sooner or later it's going to make you late for something, right? You don't want to have to take that watch and whack it or shake it to make it work. Paul says, these men that Timothy is to share what he has learned with are to be faithful, reliable, dependable. Other translations include the idea that Timothy's pupils are to be competent and qualified. These are people who stood out from the larger group of disciples. And that's what I'm excited about doing here at New Life, is working with people who are in positions of leadership, many of whom are young enough to be my grandchildren. Now I've dated myself again, right? But that excites me, to work with people who have an interest in serving the Lord and are serving the Lord and need some additional training and help and encouragement. And I think those are things that I'm halfway decent at. Paul's charge to Timothy, I would suggest to you, is Multiplication, not addition. Because you know what? Addition won't cut it. There's too much to do. There's too many people to reach to do it one by one by one by one. Multiply yourself is what Paul is saying to Timothy here. Multiply yourself. You get the job done a whole lot faster and a whole lot more efficiently if you have more than just additional workers. Then he says again in verse 2, who will be able to teach others also? Now, if I can count correctly, and sometimes I can without taking my shoes off, I think Paul is talking about four generations of leaders here. Paul to Timothy, right? Timothy to faithful people who will then be able to teach others also. And then it goes on and on and on from there. Two becomes four. Four becomes eight. Eight becomes... how many? See, some of you are better at math than I am. But it's multiplication. It's multiplying people who are out there all doing the same thing. A few years ago in my last church, we had a young family show up. They were an interesting bunch when they first came to our church. The mom and the two daughters both wore very long skirts and wore a little covering on their head. Now, that wasn't typical for Aetna Calvary Church. Wouldn't be typical here either, would it? But you know what? Nobody said anything. That was their business. And then one day I got an email from the wife, and she said, Pastor, what can you tell us about head coverings? And I thought, this is interesting. Well, I had a new friend that I had met over the internet, and then we had them come and speak at our church, who he and his wife both grew up Amish. I said, who better to know about head coverings than somebody that's been Amish, right? And so I asked Joe Keim, gentleman's name, can you give me some stuff to share with them? Because, you know, when you get online, there's like 3 gazillion pages on head coverings. And most of them contradict each other. So Joe sent me 3 things, which I forwarded right to them. And in a few weeks, they showed up at church with no head coverings. Well, these people were great. They're the kind of people that every church should have about 6 or 8 of. And they jumped into our church and went to work. And then, 2 years ago, Andrew announced that he had accepted a new job. And it was way north in the Keweenaw Peninsula, where they get snow. They measure it by the 5-foot amounts. So we lost them. But you know what? They're up there in the middle of snow country, carrying on, teaching the Bible, serving in the church. And I think our church in White Cloud had a little bit to do with how well they're doing that. That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? We train people, they go out and train others. That's what Paul is saying. Passing on the faith is not a single step. Did you know that? Passing on the faith is a multi-generational process. Passing on the faith is something that has to be seen in the long view. Jimmy and I both have jobs to do in this church. I think part of my job is to help make his load a little lighter. I haven't figured out how to do that yet, but I'm working on it. Because ministry is a heavy responsibility. It really is. And Jimmy and I need to have that long view of the ministry. I know I do. My long view says there's a whole lot more behind me than in front of me. But I want to invest however many more years the Lord gives me to serve in people. And what excited me about the potential here at New Life was so many of the people in leadership in this church are young. Like I said, young enough to be my grandchildren. Some of them, not all of them. We have to pass on what God has taught us to the next generation. And you know where that starts in a church? In the nursery. I personally believe that the nursery is one of the most important ministries in a church. Let me tell you a little more about my philosophy about that. It's not babysitting. It is laying a big foundation for the little guys, who, by the way, are some of my favorite people. If God gives me another 5 or 10 years in ministry, I want to impact as many young leaders as I possibly can. And I can't think of a better place to do that than right here. Because those people that I can help become more effective in their ministry will then impact other people who will impact other people. Whether it's here or somewhere else, we live in a mobile society. And I can multiply whatever God has taught me by investing it in the lives of young leaders like you have here at New Life. And that makes me really excited. If I can ever figure out how to... I did work to get it right for Phil, though. Sometimes old people can learn new stuff. I used to say I know just enough about computers to be dangerous. But it sounds like I figured it out. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm in the process of meeting with many of you. If you haven't been met with already, you will be. And I want to plug you into the ministry grid at the best place for you so that you can be more effective in serving the Lord. And that's what I think Paul is saying to Timothy, and that's what I think God has led me and Pat to New Life to do. So, things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. That's what I think ministry is all about. That's what I want to do in the time God gives me here. Amen? Let's do it together. All right? Because the church is a team. And I would remind you, there is no I in team. It's all about us. Whoever is part of this church is part of the team. And I'd like to see those of you who have not been actively doing some kind of ministry get active. Because the more people we have involved in ministry, the better off this church is. So that's who we are. That's how we got here. That's what I think God has brought me here to do. Maybe tonight you would like to spend a little time talking to the Lord about your own life and your own ministry. Maybe you haven't gotten involved in ministry yet, but you'd like to ask the Lord, help me find that place where I can serve and serve best. Or there might be somebody here tonight who has never really made that full heart commitment to Christ. And tonight you'd like to come and ask the Lord to come into your life and be your Savior and your Lord. Whatever your need, we'll give you an opportunity to do that